a bracelet of bright hair. The piercing shriek cut through Juchicha's fear like a razor claw through flesh. But under the husk of her fear lay raw animal survival. All around her was the leathern flapping of wings and the strangled screams of her predators. Yet all she heard was the heartbeat thump of her boots, drumming a rhythm of furious urgency. Her rifle lost, she had no way of defending herself against the pack of Carnodacts. Her only chance was to make it to the tree line. She felt wind on her neck, instinctively dropped into a roll, springing up as the winged beast soared over her. Its clacking beak snapped a mouthful of air as it passed. She engaged her leg muscles to launch back into a full run. However, a lurching feeling accompanied a sudden sensory realization that the world was not as it should be. She was falling, her surroundings an ink-spilled blur of darkness. And then, pain. When Juchicha came to herself, it took her several moments to realize what had happened. She sat in a dank pool, a crooked finger of light spilling from a ragged hole far above her. Yes, it was the hole she had fallen through. Outside, she could hear the distant, frustrated cries of the winged hunters. What is this place? She wondered aloud. As the gloom receded, Juchicha began to take in her surroundings. At first glance, she thought it was a cave. But as she looked more closely, she saw that under the centuries of lime scale, soil, root, and fungus were the unmistakable marks of architecture. Stalactites hung from the ceiling. The floor was long since lost under a covering of silt, but she was definitely in a room of some kind. The walls were lined with workstations and bulkhead struts. Behind her, a cave-in blocked the exit. But ahead of her was an octagonal doorway, flanked by two similarly shaped windows. From that direction, she sensed a faint purple glow. Bioluminescence, perhaps? The next room was knee-deep in standing water. The far wall comprised of five glass tanks, each about 2 meters tall, with clumped bundles of cables sprouting from the tops, like bursts of wiry vegetation. Three glowed weakly, the sickly magenta hue of the liquid that filled them, giving the light its color. It was only when she was an arm's length away that she could see there were ancient bodies floating in the bottom of each tank, skin pickled to white leather. Juchicha looked in fascinated horror at their toothy screams, the numbered wristbands and the tubes which penetrated skin at the base of their skulls. What is this place? She asked again, as if some ancient spirit would call out in answer. Up a flight of crumbling polycarbon stairs was another octagonal doorway, which led into a corridor from which a stronger light emanated. The cold, cyan hue gently flickered in incremental bursts from a half-open doorway at the end of the passage, illuminating an angular statue of a man, arms folded across his chest in a gesture of stern implacability. The effect was spoiled, somewhat, by the long strands of root which draped over his head and shoulders like a mane of filthy hair. Juchicha nodded to him respectfully as she passed, finally flashing him her most winning smile, imagining him to be a guardian god whose permission was required to proceed. On squeezing through the doorway, she was immediately struck by the strong scent of rotting vegetation, tinged with an acrid smell, reminding her of an astringent medicinal. Juchicha let out an involuntary gasp. In the center of the room was a circular dais, surrounded by a railing containing a large table. From the ceiling hung a metal globe, surrounded by the ghostly, cyan glowing image of a woman's face. "What is this place?" she intoned for the third time, the mantra now more a talisman against harm than a genuine question. Her sense of dread increased tenfold when, seemingly in response to the sound of her voice, the woman's eyes opened. The face distorted, appearing and disappearing, hummingbird wing fast, in a succession of grotesque expressions. Unknown, hemisphere is ap. Reports indic. Tire landmass. For luck, Juchita's hand went to the small fetish she wore around her neck. The spirit of this ancient place was speaking to her in a strange accent, and with many words she did not understand. But she knew this was no true spirit. The ghost of this place was simply a memory, bound in the thinking engines of the builders. She had heard of such things, but nonetheless, it was difficult for her to shake off the idea that this was a real person calling to her from the distant past. Dire and complete future. Trust to protect Niahom. Time is Mastering her sense of unease at disturbing the tomb of this ancient being, Juchita began to scan the nearby equipment, identifying the control panel to which the projector belonged. While the depredations of age appeared to have fused many of the controls, there was life in it yet. She manipulated a touch screen, gasping as the cracked glass sliced her finger. She shook her head. No, this discovery was too important to trust to her meager skills. She needed to find a way out, and find people in Skyton who could make better sense of such things. Who knows what wondrous knowledge such a memory spirit could contain, and what damage she could do blundering around. With a final look at the face, now frozen in a roar of elucidation, Juchita gathered her senses and prepared to find a route back to the surface. As she did so, one word which the ghost had uttered, familiar and yet unknown, kept turning over in her mind. Niahom.